This morning, we'd like to give a brief kind of conclusion to, thank you, all the fellowship that we had yesterday, and to just add a little something concerning the matter of the development of the practical fellowship, the development of the personal fellowship with the Lord. Yesterday, in this following the three outlines that you have in your outline packet, and incidentally, if any of the local saints don't have, we do have some extras somewhere. The brothers can supply that to you. Yeah, no, they have it right there. The usher brothers have it. Yeah, so yeah, if anybody needs, yeah, the brothers have it there. So these three outlines, one is on the significance of eating, the significance of eating. Could we take this down a little bit, just a little bit, please? Yeah, the significance of eating. Second is on the matter of the Jubilee. And then the third outline is on the practice of the personal fellowship with the Lord. We didn't cover in that order, but those are the three outlines that you have in your packet. Just a reminder concerning the matter of eating. Please remember that there are these two aspects, and both are so important. The one is our contact with people. When we contact people, it is a kind of eating. And from the outline, you can see that the biblical view is that to eat is to receive something from outside of you that comes into you and affects you inwardly. Yeah. And that's what we do in our eating. We just had breakfast or a little snack. We receive something from outside of us. Now it's within. Now even you don't realize, and that's operating. You're not doing anything, you're just sitting here. But what you had this morning is operating. Amen. Sometimes what you take in the night before operates in a certain way, and in the middle of the night, You don't feel so good. You don't feel so good. And we have this term, food poisoning, right? I don't know if anyone here ever suffered food poisoning. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But food poisoning is just a kind of instant shot. It knocks you down, and then you get over it, and you get up. What's worse is the kind of eating that over time affects you and you don't know. You know, there's a brother I know very recently. I was so surprised. I saw him about a month ago. Then I found out that a week ago he had quadruple bypass surgery. Emergency surgery, quadruple bypass. My mother had such a thing. You know, it with in my mother's case, it was not so much you would think like fat, grease, those kind of. It's calcium. Buildup of calcium would in her arteries. Anyway, those kind of cases, it's over time. It's little by little. Right. It's not that you go to McDonald's and eat a French fry and oh, that's it. It's over time. That's a lot of French fries over lots of years and a lot of other things. So eating affects us. Yeah. That's improper eating. But proper eating also affects us positively. And we are sustained by what we eat. We're sustained by what we eat. And so we need to be careful with our spiritual and psychological eating. Yes. And what we see from Leviticus 11, when you combine that with Acts chapter 10, it's very clear that one aspect of eating is contacting people. Contacting people. And so, dear saints, just a kind of final reminder for those with the stage of life that you know you are in, especially so many of you at the beginning of your professional, you know, your careers, it's limitless with some of you, where you could go, what you could accomplish, but be careful. Take care of your diet along the way. Amen. Take care of your diet. Of course, you know, a brother actually asked, kind of responding to this fellowship yesterday, asked, you know, how can you avoid some of the effects of when you're contacting people? And does it mean you have to totally avoid people? Well, because of work and situations we're in, most of the time you can't totally avoid the contact with certain people. But you can avoid certain kinds of contact. You can have certainly professional contact. But there are some conversations we will just be led inwardly to avoid. Certain situations that inwardly you're just led to get out of here. And I told the brother that sometimes when your spirit is strong, you will have a sense before this person talks, you're just being introduced to them, but you may have a sense, watch out. Watch out. Be guarded concerning such a person. And it may even be they're a believer. It may even be they're a believer. And remember, all these words are to God's people. All these words are to God's people. So that means there are believers, and including we ourselves at times, who, what? Contact death. And we spread death. And the Lord may give you a kind of sense, oh, this brother, maybe last week he was okay, not this week. You better stay away. You don't even know why, just a kind of feeling. Now, that doesn't mean, brother, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. But you have to follow your inner leading. You follow your inner leading. Maybe the brother's going through something, and it was mentioned in the testimonies yesterday that sometimes we just like to criticize. We just like to criticize. And maybe the brother's just going through something and has a critical spirit. Oh, even this, you can eat it. If you have just a critical spirit, a little something about the brothers, a little something about the brothers, a little something about the church, a little something just about the services. Oh, be careful. Be careful. It doesn't mean we never fellowship when we have concerns, but there's a proper spirit in which we can have fellowship. Yeah. And your spirit will be very sensitive. Some things you receive, some things you just don't receive. So I would say we need a kind of a filter. We need a kind of a filter where we can speak with someone and they talk, but you just don't inwardly receive what they're saying. It's not that we have to be rude to people to tell them, don't say that. Although, maybe sometimes you have to be that faithful to a brother. Say, brother, please don't speak this way. You know, when we love one another, trust one another, you can talk to each other in such an open way. But please be careful about that. Please be careful. You don't want to create more problems by solving this problem. But the point, don't get distracted by this. The point is, take care of your diet. Amen. In our contact with people. And I was touched with Brother Dennis's testimony. Remember what he said, that he heard this kind of fellowship on Leviticus 11, on the kinds of animals that you eat and don't eat. You know, because that what's revealed in Leviticus 11 is not just a warning of what you shouldn't eat. It also is what you should eat, the kind of people you should be with, contacting. And the Lord spoke to him very clearly, not just you should be with this kind of brother, but the Lord spoke to him, you need to spend more time with brother so-and-so. The Lord spoke to him. Remember that? Yeah. He told us, brother so-and-so. And he didn't say who it was in the testimony, and it wasn't me. But he did. He did tell me this testimony earlier this week, and he told me who the brother was. You know, he told me who it was, and he told me how he'd go to the brother's office, and he just had a feeling. This, I'm going to use the phrase from the Bible. This brother chews the cud. That's what he told me. This brother chews the cud, and that means this brother receives God's word with careful consideration, and muses on it, and then has something of the Lord, and so. The Lord told him, spend more time with this brother. And how that benefited him. And he'd go to his office in Manhattan, because Brother Dennis's work had him all over the city. But this brother was in his office. So he would make a point to not make appointments certain time of the week and then go be with this brother. And that's eating, not only of the word, but of this brother, you understand, right, had such a positive effect, even caused Brother Dennis to love the Lord more, love the Word more.
Amen.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope we got something out of that testimony. But also another aspect, of course, is eating the Lord in the Word, and that was kind of our springboard into the second session on this matter of how to contact the Lord in the Word. Right, so we want to say a little bit more about that, but let me just jump over to the matter of the Jubilee for a few minutes, and then we'll come back. And we still will leave at least 30 minutes for the saints sharing or overflow from yesterday or whatever you'd like to bring to us. I'd like to go back to the outline that we used on the Jubilee. So this is in your packet, the second outline, the Jubilee. And let us read together. Let us read together Romans 2. Well, maybe we should just start from there. Let's read the Roman numeral, Romans 2. And I'd like to read some of the subpoints. Okay, Romans 2, the year of Amen. The year of Jubilee, of course, we're not going to develop. This is a continuation, so we don't want to take too much time. Every 50 years, there was a proclamation of Jubilee, and this is when anyone who had sold themselves into slavery, they were liberated. They were freed, and also they returned to their land, to their inheritance, and to their family. Right. This is the Jubilee. And someone mentioned, thank the Lord for the body. I had failed to mention this yesterday, but in the speaking, in the testimonies, I believe of Sister, she mentioned that the definition of Jubilee is a ringing shout.
Amen.
A ringing shout. That's what it actually means. To give a ringing shout, right? And you can imagine on that day, at that moment, when those horns were blown, that there must have been two sounds merged. One is the blowing of the horn, and the other one is the joyful, exuberant shouting. Yeah. And these sounds were merged on that day. And that's why it's normal in the Christian life to make a joyful noise.
Amen.
It's normal. It's normal to make a joyful noise. Yes, yes, the verse says in 2 Corinthians, we should be what? Beside ourselves to God and sober to men. But I would say, even when we're with men, at least in the church meeting, don't be too sober. Every now and then, you should be a little crazy.
Amen.
A little beside yourself. And be free to give a ringing shout.
Amen.
And to make a joyful noise.
Amen.
You know, we'll come back to this in a little bit, but we did mention this fellowship, which is very precious, practical fellowship from Brother Lee on spending personal time with the Lord, that the place that we pray for our daily time is very important. You know, there are two aspects. There are two aspects to this matter of prayer at a set time and at any time. Surely we can pray anywhere. Surely. And surely we should. And we should talk to the Lord all the time. Like have either, you could say, thousands of conversations all day long, or one ongoing conversation with the Lord all day long. We should talk to him about, Lord, thank you, the sky's blue. Lord, thank you, it's sunny. Lord, thank you, it's cloudy, so it's not too hot. Lord, thank you, it's raining. Thank you that it's raining, because, you know, we need the rain. Lord, not too much rain, though. Lord, I'm wet. Lord, I wish I had remembered my umbrella. Oh, Lord, I need new wipers. Like anything, like talking to him about anything and everything.
Amen.
You know what? That's a continual breathing.
Amen.
If we practice this, less things will clog our inner being. Because you're just telling him. You know, we were talking about the courtship yesterday afternoon, courtship, and I would encourage our brothers and sisters, as you're in the process, learn to be open to one another.
Amen.
Learn to be open to one another, and talk a lot. You know, one thing that we know in marriage life, one frustration is that if one party or the other holds things in too long. Do you understand what I mean? Hold things in too long. Maybe it's because your lives are so busy and you don't get to actually sit down and talk. But eventually, if you hold things in too long, this is also the case in corporate living. Just brothers living together, sisters living together. Maybe that sister doesn't wash her dishes, and that upsets you, but you don't say anything. And then after a month, same thing. Now you're living together 6 months. Oh, why doesn't she wash her dishes? What will happen? One day, it's going to come out. That's why we encourage the corporate living situations. You should have some talks every week to make sure everything's okay. Yeah, that avoids the kind of a, yeah. And with marriage life, actually, that's the same thing. You should always have a communication so that nothing builds up. Well, with the Lord, all the more. And with the Lord, it's the easiest.
Amen.
Just talk to him all the time. Just talk to him all the time. Okay, that's one aspect of breathing and contacting the Lord in fellowship. But another aspect is at a set time, and in a set place. Set time, set place. And Brother Lee gave this very practical fellowship. This is where I wanted to lead with what I'm saying now. That you should have a place, find a place where if you need to weep, you're free to weep, to cry. And if you want to shout, you're free to shout. I believe many of us have not found such a place. We don't have such a place. We need such a place with the Lord with the Lord. You know, that place can become like your little private holy of holies. If you pray in the same place every day, my experience is eventually you just go to that place. You're in the Spirit already.
Amen.
You hardly even need to pray or say anything or open. You just go there because that place, you find the presence of the Lord so often.
Amen.
That it's just your little holy of holies.
Amen.
You know, in Matthew 6, that's called your closet. It's in King James. Go into your closet and say something to your Father. In the Recovery Version, it says your private room. Enter your private room and shut the door.
Amen.
And your Father, who sees in secret, he will reward you. So we need such a private room, such a place. And in that place, the point is, you can let go. And your inner being can just flow. And so if the Lord is touching you, maybe he touches you about your sin. Maybe he touches you about your pride. And you just feel so shameful. Oh, Lord, I didn't see. Oh, Lord, have I been like this? And you just can't help but weep. Oh, I know some saints, they spend their 10 minutes with the Lord on the subway. Oh, if the Lord touches you this way in the subway, I think you'll try to hold in your tears. But if you're in your private room, you just let go and let it flow. Now, please, don't be weakened by my fellowship. If you have your time with the Lord on the subway, please do that. Please do that. But then ask the Lord that you could also have a time in a private room. So don't do, through this fellowship, don't do less than what you're doing. You understand? The enemy will say, oh, that doesn't count. That's wrong. Okay, fine. I'll just read the newspaper. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. So continue what you're doing. Continue what you're doing. And then ask the Lord, Lord, can I get a private room with you? You know, it says in the Song of Songs, the king has brought me into his chamber.
Amen.
The king has brought me into his chamber. Say, Lord, bring me into your chamber. Where's your chamber in my house? Where's your chamber in my environment? So that I can have a private place and fellowship with you. I hope we could all have this. Well, saints, in the church meeting, we also should be able to let go.
Amen.
And let our feeling flow. So that if we're in the Lord's table or a group meeting or a church meeting, if there's something in our heart, we would have no restraint. And we'd be able just to say, praise the Lord! Lord, I love you!
Amen.
I hope in our meetings, we would really be in jubilee.
Amen.
We would not be in bondage here. Thinking, oh, if I say that, what will he say? What will she think? Oh, I hope we have none of that here. Here, we just are in freedom.
Amen.
And the Lord just can flow.
Amen.
Okay, let's read A and B. Let's read A first. The New Testament age
is an age of ecstasy, and a Christian is a person in ecstasy. If we have never been in ecstasy before God, this shows that we do not have sufficient enjoyment of God.
Oh, we mentioned a lot about this last night. The verse 2 Corinthians 5:13, for whether we were beside ourselves, it was to God, or whether we are sober-minded, it is for you. Saints, I do hope we all can have this experience of being beside ourselves, of being with the Lord. We're just with the Lord, and we enter into his enjoyment so much, we just lose our self-consciousness. We just lose all the inhibition. We just lose everything that's binding us, that we don't even realize is binding us, and we are just joyful in him.
Amen.
Joyful in him.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to B. Let's read B.
Jubilee means having no worry or anxiety, no concern or care, no lack or shortage, no sickness.
Amen. Saints, this is our jubilee in the New Testament.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, it was the land. But the land is a type of Christ. And Christ, the land was their enjoyment. Christ should be our enjoyment to this extent that we have no anxiety, cares, no lack, no shortage. This can be our experience today. And actually, I appreciate that a number of saints picked up on this point last night. And you mentioned this. It's our right.
Amen.
It's our right. Amen. Claim it.
Amen.
Imagine I had sold myself into slavery 25 years ago. This is the year of Jubilee. My land is right there. The trumpet sounds, and I stand here. Woe is me. I'm really bad. I shouldn't have done what I did. The trumpet. Everybody else around me is shouting. Everyone else returns. And I'm... How pitiful that would be. But this is us. This is us. The trumpet sounding. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is go back and what? Claim it.
Amen.
You go, guys, get away. This is mine. You just, that's your right.
Amen.
Oh, saints, I hope our eyes could be opened.
Amen.
Were you touched with that last night in Isaiah 61?
Amen.
The way it says, and open the eyes of those who are bound. We're bound because because we're blind. We don't see our portion. There's a lot in Christ that we have. We don't see. Oh, Lord. Are we at D?
C.
Okay, skip over. Go to D. D. Everything can be satisfying. Let's read that. Go.
Everything.
Amen. Saints, we will still face all kinds of situations, but we actually can be enabled to be calm and free of worries as we're facing the situations. That's the experience of Christ as our Jubilee. Now, the last half of this outline, which I did not get into last night, is on the prodigal son as a picture of the Jubilee. You know the story of the father with the two sons, this parable. And the younger son gets his inheritance, goes out, squanders, then comes back. And the father's looking for him, runs to him. And then, he's trying to repent. He's trying to redeem himself. Oh, father. The father interrupts him, says, quickly, get out the fatted calf and put the robe on him. And he brings him in. And then what? The brother is not happy. Yeah, so I don't want to read more of the outline. I just want to talk about the older brother for just a few minutes. Saints, in that parable, you have these two brothers. The younger brother that we usually pay more attention to, he's the bad one, right? He's the naughty one. He goes, squanders, and comes back. And then he gets the enjoyment. The older brother, he's the good brother. He's the good son. But he's the unhappy son. He's unhappy. So he never had the failure. He's always in the house. He's like a church kid that never left the meeting. You know, yesterday in our testimonies, one of the sisters took the risk to expose her husband a little bit, you know, and said, oh, my husband, he left the meeting for a little bit and came back and, but it's very interesting because as soon as she said that, I realized, wow, they really complement each other. Because now they can take care of anybody. In this household, you have a sister who who always went on in the church life, a brother who had a little detour but came back. Now they can shepherd saints. They can shepherd, if you understand me correctly, the Timothys and the Marks. You know, Timothy and Mark, and they're young brothers in the New Testament. Timothy was like this, always going on. Paul's young co-worker. Mark was like this. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is the last chapter that Paul writes, Paul says, bring Mark. He's useful to me for the ministry. And they end together. And Paul gets martyred. Timothy and Paul, they continue. Timothy and Mark, they continue. It's very interesting because Timothy is considered Paul's spiritual son, and Mark is considered Peter's spiritual son. So it's really like Paul and Peter serving together, next generation. Yeah, but one was a straight line, the other one was a detour. Yeah, but they end together. I thought of our brother and sister. Now, whether you're a Timothy, you can get shepherded in their household. If you're a Mark, you can get shepherded in their household. That's wonderful. But the sister said, that doesn't mean somebody should leave the church so that you could take care of people who leave the church. Right? That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. But saints, sometimes that's the situation, right? That's what that is. So, but my point is this. My point is that among us, we have some, naughty ones. Naughty ones. And then they're recovered. And you know, very often the recovered ones are the joyful ones. The recovered ones are joyful ones. Yeah. But the ones who never had a failure, who never had a detour, even I think there was a testimony of I forget who it was. A brother said he somewhat looked down on other. This was last night, I think, maybe. Looked down on the other saints. Oh, it's very easy. It's very easy. If you never had a failure, you look down on other. Be careful. But my point is this. Don't be the older brother in the father's house. Don't be the unhappy one. Everyone should be in Jubilee. Amen. It'd be a shame if we're doing everything right in the church life. We have morning revival, or at least we try to every day. We serve faithfully. We support all those things. When they say, oh, we need 5 volunteers, we volunteer. When there's a need to pick up someone, maybe, or there's need for hospitality, oh, our home is open. But with no happiness. Amen. With no happiness. Or at least not much happiness. Oh, I hope we could all experience God as our exceeding joy.
Amen.
And really have the Jubilee. Really have the Jubilee. Okay. But how do you do that? Well, now I come back to the burden for this morning. No, that is continuing what we shared yesterday on the personal time with the Lord. The personal time. And that is the final outline in your packet, the final outline, which we didn't cover yesterday, and we're also not going to cover right now. I just want to point out, that's the last outline, the practice of fellowship with God. And we mentioned some principles. We mentioned some principles, which I'd like to still highlight. And the first one is related to our mind. And I'm going to use a different word now. We need to calm our mind. Calm our mind. Or calm our inner being. And we get this from Psalm 131, verse 2, where it says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. And we found this, that the wandering mind is a big distraction, maybe the biggest distraction when we're spending the personal time with the Lord. So we need to quiet our inner being. Another way of saying calm is to quiet. We need to quiet our inner being. You know, I was a believer before coming to the church life, so we did not have this phrase, morning revival. We use this very commonly now. But actually, even in the church life, we didn't have this phrase, morning revival, until 1984, 85, at least 84. Brother Lee introduced this term. Before that, we always used to say morning watch. And many saints actually still use this phrase, morning watch, right? Morning watch. And this is the phrase that you find in the Bible, right? Morning watch. But in the denomination that I was in, we didn't have that phrase either. We had the phrase devotionals. Devotionals. Or also quiet time. Quiet time. And I didn't appreciate that much when I was 12 or 13 years old. I appreciate this phrase much more right now. Yeah. Saints, we all need a quiet time. Quiet time. But in the quiet time, you can shout. What needs to be quiet is your inner being. Right? Or this verse says, your soul. Your soul. We need to quiet our mind. Isn't your mind full of things? Things? Maybe you're just because of responsibilities at work, you know what's coming that day, and you're spending time with the Lord in the morning, but you know, oh, you have this appointment at 11, a lunch appointment, then another appointment at 2, you run through your agenda. And you can't help it. Well, we need to exercise. Not now. Not now. And focus on the Lord. Calm our inner being and set our mind on the Spirit. Then we talked about the matter of breathing, right? Breathing. And that is to unload ourselves, right? To discharge. You know, I was thinking about this. At least from what I know, I'm not a biologist, I'm not in the medical field, but seems to me every living organism needs to discharge something to survive. That's the way we're created, at least among the plants, animals, and mankind. We're made this way. To survive, You have to discharge negative things. You have to discharge negative things. The human body, you have to discharge negative things to stay alive. If you do not, and sometimes that happens with something wrong with your intestines, and you don't discharge the negative things, your body becomes toxic. Is that the phrase that's, I think, your body becomes toxic. This is really true spiritually. If you don't discharge, death just grows. And it doesn't matter how much you still take in and enjoy the Lord and pray. You the Lord's merciful. He still dispenses into you, but you can't be healthy. So, saints, we need to learn how to discharge, how to unload. I want to recommend a hymn to you. Actually, two hymns. Verse 789, if we could take a look at that. I think most of us are probably familiar with this hymn. Do you know this hymn? 789. I think most of us know this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, too low. Anyway, sins to what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry And then I want to highlight those last four lines that we just sang. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. That means peace is there, but you don't take it. You just let it go. You don't show up. You know, when you have a sports teams and one team doesn't show up, then the other team gets the victory by forfeit. Why didn't you show up? At least show up. At least try. With the Lord, we don't show up. There's peace. Oh, what needless pain we bear. It's needless. Why do we bear so much when we can unload on Him? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Saints, this is our portion. Amen. This is our privilege. It's more than that. This is our right. Amen. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life. We have the right, but we don't claim our right. We forfeit our right. Have we trials and temptations? Verse 2. Is there trouble anywhere or everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Then 788. I think many saints who know this song know it to one particular tune, which is not the original tune in the hymnal. But I like to introduce a third tune for this. It's actually 437 in our hymn book. Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? This tune. Okay, we can try this for verse 1. When thou wakest in the morning, ere thou treads the untried way of the lot that lies before thee through the coming busy day, whether sunbeams promise brightness, whether dim forebodings fall, be thy dawning glad or gloomy,
go to Jesus,
tell him
all.
Verse 3. Then as our by hour glides by thee, thou wilt blessed guidance know, thine own burdens being lightened,
thou
canst bear another's woe.
Thou canst
help the weak ones onward. Thou canst raise up those that fall. But remember, while thou servest still, once your needs are met, once you unload and receive the fresh supply, we can help others.
Amen.
We can help others. We can bring them into Jubilee.
Amen.
But here I love that it says, but remember, while thou servest, while you're serving, still tell Jesus, tell him all.
Amen.
Stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Anyway, I just offer these two hymns to you for your enjoyment.
Amen.
And what I'd like to, the one point I'd like to add this morning is with the matter of singing. and using the hymns in our personal fellowship with the Lord. Have you ever woken up with a tune in your heart? With a song? With a melody? Where did it come from? Often comes from what we were singing last night in the meeting, or you were playing in your car one of those CDs. I mean, there are some songs, you know, in the Summer School of Truth. Oh, the young people like, you know, it's like every meeting they call the same song, you know, for, you know, 5 or 6 days, and you can't help but wake up with, I don't even like the song, but like it just comes up. And so, you know, I find that often when I wake up with a tune, I realize that's the Lord calling me to fellowship.
Amen.
Calling. I like to sing that song. I don't even wait. I just start to sing it. I enjoy to shower before I go spend my time with the Lord. People have their own schedule. But in the shower, that's my private room. And then I just carry that fellowship to where I actually sit to pray. And so that song, very often the Lord has something for me in that hymn. And you know what? I don't have to go through this process. You understand? I'm not battling with my mind. Because the Lord called me to fellowship already. And I just received His invitation. Amen. I took the calling card. And I'm already in fellowship. So I have found that singing is a very good way to get into the Spirit. Amen. With the least amount of effort. You know, sometimes when we're battling with the mind, we may, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, the more we call, the stronger the mind gets. You ever experienced that? It's like the louder the thoughts get. Yeah. So I say, abort. Just abort. Calling's not working today. Sorry, Lord. It's not working. So that means go to the hymn. Amen. Or go directly to the verse. Or just talk to Him. Just say, Lord, I'm really having a hard time. I'm really having a hard time. You know, with all the things today, I have this and this and this and this. And I still forgot to call Bill. And this morning I remembered again. Oh, Brother Bill, forgot to call Bill. I got to call him on the way home today. And so, you know, you get the things, right? The things. But breathe them out. Breathe them out. That helps to calm the mind down. But singing, I find very often, just brings us to the Spirit. Amen. Brings us. But when we sing, I'd like to encourage you. Don't be bound to sing the entire hymn. Even when it's of the Lord. So like yesterday, I woke up with hymn 811. I don't know if you recall. We sang this hymn in the first meeting. That's my heart is hungry, my spirit the thirst, right? This song. Even that's in your heart. And I was singing a little bit in the shower. Then I went to sit at a certain place, and then I start to sing it again. And when you're singing, and this is really the key point. Be flexible. Amen. To follow the inner anointing. Amen. Follow the inner anointing. When we follow the inner anointing, the Lord will lead us into jubilee.
Amen.
And we will really find the supply to feed on the Lord. Amen. So, just as an example, and I don't want to put words into your thought that this is the way to do it. It's just an example. I start to sing, my heart is hungry. My spirit does thirst. Lord, I'm really thirsty. Lord, I'm really thirsty. I don't even have to finish the line. I don't even have to finish the word thirsty in the song. My spirit does. Lord, yes. I just feel thirsty these days, Lord. I feel so dry. Lord, in my service, I have to confess it's so dry. I'm faithful, but dry. The saints don't need that. That doesn't help anybody. Lord, come to me. Why am I dry? Why am I so dry? Oh, Lord Jesus, maybe I went to the cisterns, broken cisterns. You may not know what that is. But I know Jeremiah chapter 2 has a verse that says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. Lord, is it this? Is that why I'm dry? Because I went to the broken cisterns? And then suddenly something comes to mind. Oh, that. I was trying to seek satisfaction in that. Lord, forgive me. After so long, I still go to that. Lord, forgive me. Lord, thank you for your blood. I return. I return to you as the fountain. Lord, you're the fountain. Drinking at the fountain that never runs. But do you see where we went? We were in 8:11. And then with one sentence and some prayer, we ended up in Jeremiah 2. You might not end up in Jeremiah 2 because you might not know Jeremiah 2, but I know Jeremiah 2. In Jeremiah 2. And then we're praying that cisterns, just the word cisterns, broken cisterns. You might say, oh, Lord, cisterns, broken cisterns, cisterns, broken cisterns. And that might not mean anything to you, but to me, it's a zip file. When I say broken cisterns, oh my goodness, look at all the broken cisterns I have. I have 11 of them, broken cisterns, and each one holds no water. That's what the verse says, broken cisterns. Lord, forgive me. I return to you as the fountain of living waters, because that's the verse, right? And then suddenly, drinking at the, that's 322. But if you don't know 322, you can't. But then you might know, drinking at the fountain that never runs dry, drinking la 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 la. You may not know the words. That's okay. Just la 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 and make up your own words. Because the Lord led you there. Finding joy and measure in accounting pleasure. No, finding joy and pleasure in abounding measure. I am drinking at the fountain of life. Amen. Now, 5 minutes ago, you were, oh, Lord, broken cisterns. And now, drinking at the fountain of life. Amen. This is what you can be before the Lord.
Amen.
This is what our time could be if you're flexible and follow the anointing.
Amen.
This principle of following the anointing is in the songs, also in prayer reading. When we're reading the word, be so flexible.
Amen.
And you pray over a few words. Pray over a few words. But you get some feeling. Then whatever feeling you have, make it words.
Amen.
Pray it out. And personalize. And the Lord will lead you. Anyway, I hope this brief fellowship could at least a little bit enrich your personal time with the Lord. Well, I'd like to turn the meeting over to everyone. We still have 25 minutes. Fellowship, anything that's in your heart, and any overflow from yesterday as well. Amen.
Little point. we quite easily get distracted. You know, suddenly the thoughts came. And some thoughts are our own thoughts. And some thoughts are not our thoughts, but rather the thoughts got injected from the enemy. Because you realize you didn't want to think the thought. So that's not from you. But some thoughts are from us. And sometimes I thought about it and I stopped, you know. And I spent time, continue my time in the Word or with the Lord. Then after I finish, then I realized that thought was something I need to do. Yeah. You know, I should. Then I went back to think about what was that thought. I don't remember. I said, I should have done something. So then I learned to have a piece of paper. Yeah. Just write it down. Yeah. And so you will help. And if you don't write it down, sometimes, you know, when you spend time, that same thought comes back again, you know, distract you. But once you wrote it down, you know it's there. It's in file. So you don't need to worry again. So just this little point that today in our practice, you know, the Lord may bring up, you know, some little ways that we can have a smooth fellowship with the Lord. Amen.
Now, hearing this, re-speaking this morning, the first thought that came to me is, wow, there's a sister I know that really needs to hear this message. Because they feel so bound, right? They keep talking about all these different situations, and then I think about it, and I go, well, you know, maybe I'll have my wife talk to her about it. Then I think about it, then I say, well, no, I need my wife to experience this too. And then I think about it, and I say, no, I need to experience this first, right? I enjoyed Brother Ricky saying, the way we can bring this to others is if we enter into it first. Amen. We need to be released. We need to be in jubilee in order to bring anybody else in. The messages are all high and good, but some are not ready to receive it. But at the same time, if we haven't really truly experienced it ourselves, it's hard to bring other people into the same thought, the same practice. So first, we need to enter in. Amen. We need to become those that are jubilant. We need to be those that have that measure of supply and maybe even some ways to enter in with the Lord. Amen. Then as we contact people, we'll start to be able to have the Lord's eyes, to be able to see their situation, to be able to give them the right word at the right time. Amen. Right? Maybe they're too weak to receive this whole thing, but we can bring them into one step closer to the Lord. One thing they can open to the Lord. And then we go on from there. As we experience the Lord, we bring others into that experience. Amen. So we need to experience the jubilee first. Amen. We need to find, how do I follow the Lord in my morning time? Amen. How do I enjoy the Lord to that extent that I'm liberated from all those concerns, all those binding thoughts? Amen. And then we can help and exercise and bring the other saints into it.
I like to give a testimony about being flexible during morning revival. So a few weeks ago, I've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and my goal is I started in Genesis a few months ago and go through the Old New Testament. And sometimes it can be dry, so I'm in Deuteronomy almost halfway through. I'm like, Lord, I really need some nourishment, right? So I was reading chapter 14, and I get to verse 21, and it says, "You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk." I was like, what? What is that? What? And I was like, Lord, what is this? And then I started to dig into it. Like, the Lord was, sometimes the Lord, there's so many footnotes, right? When you read the recovery version, if you have the full version, you're like, there's so many, like, reference verses. And sometimes, if you let the Lord lead you to specific things, it becomes really, really rich. The Lord was leading me to, like, get into this, right? And so this verse is also in Exodus 23:19. But the note says that this typifies that the milk of the Word of God, the life supply of Christ, should be used to nourish new believers in Christ, not to kill them. I was like, wow, Lord, this is so practical, so wonderful. So I got into all the reference verses. The Lord was like, just read on, read on, read on. I came to this really fabulous verse, really good. Okay, so it says, First Thessalonians 2, 7 through 8. And it says, "But we were Gentiles in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own child, yearning in this way over you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls." Amen. because you became beloved to us, you know. So I just really encourage, like, the schedule's there, you know, but just as we had three outlines, but Brother Ricky was not going A through Z, right? He was like, I'm just going to use this, right? The same way, and it's good. The Lord will be so rich to you if you just follow in your morning time.
This weekend was the first time I had heard this principle of exhaling, and I realized that this has been a huge, if not the biggest, frustration in my personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. And these past few months has been a really happy time because Anderson and I are engaged. We're planning a wedding, but I realized there's so many things I need to just exhale. So many anxieties, so many, like, there's so many things. And I realize I've been bound by these things, you know, all positive things, but Satan is so tricky. Wow. He uses these wonderful things to bind us, even if we say, you know, Lord, our marriage is for you. We want to move where you want. All these wonderful things, Satan comes in and he just usurps that. So this weekend was such a, I think, refreshing for me and resetting. And I just said, Lord, I just need to exhale. You know, all these things that I'm holding on to, all these anxieties, frustrations, annoyances, aspirations, Lord, I just want to unload them on you. And even that's our right. Wow, like that is our right to turn back to the enjoyment of the Lord. We don't have to hold on to these things. You know, oh, what needless pain we bear, right? All these things that we just carry. We don't have to. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can unload these things onto him. Amen. We can come back to him as our enjoyment.
Amen. I touched this hymn, 789. And really, you know, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I was really kind of exposed, you know, when the brother shared, we often forfeit so much peace, so much of what God has for us, right? And I even consider my own life, Lord, how much have I forfeited, right? Everything that you have for me, just because I didn't come and appear before you, right? And yesterday when I was just spending time, you know, as the brother encouraged us to just come before the Lord with what was shared, and the very first point was, we must appear before God, right? If we don't even appear before God, then we forfeit, right? Everything that he has for us. And I was like, Lord, how often I have forfeited what you have for me, right? The birthright, the riches, right? Even the jubilee, Lord, all these riches you have for me, just because I did not come and appear before you. And I was just so really convicted by this, right? We have to take the time and give the Lord the first place, right? Especially in the mornings, right? As the brother shared, just come to the Lord and make this practice. And I was really touched with even just the practical side of having a time and a place, right? A time and a place, a time where we can just give to the Lord and a place where we can be free to just cry or scream or whatever, right? Just come to the Lord and just let everything go. So I was really encouraged to have this type of fellowship with the Lord. Amen.
Anyway, but and I found this conference to be a very timely word. I just appreciate that the Lord is our jubilee.
Amen.
And the jubilee is our right.
Amen.
We don't have to pay anything, right? We just need to believe.
Amen.
And at this point, if we have never been in ecstasy before God, this shows that we do not have a sufficient enjoyment of God.
Right.
And I just had this, you know, this questioning within, Lord, how sufficient has my enjoyment been? And I appreciate, you know, we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to, oh, well, you know, this isn't working, so I'm just going to stop. We are where we are, but praise the Lord for this word,
Amen.
For this help. And we see that our experience of the Lord as our jubilee depends on our eating, right? And our eating is our contact of people. Anyways, I realized... I'm in medical school. I'm surrounded by medical students. The curriculum, it's a little, unpredictable. And so I noticed that when I'm around my classmates a lot, they complain. I noticed, you know, oh, they're complaining a lot. And this one time I decided, let me give it a shot. Let me try to, you know, I'm just going to complain something. Yeah, you know, you're right. This is very... disagreeable, and I just felt like, you know, I just realized, I just opened the door, and it's just like, wow, and now, you know, I'm just the same as them. I'm just complaining, like, oh, yeah, why didn't they do it like this, you know, why did they do it like this, oh, Lord Jesus, and I just realized, you know, even in our contact of people, I just realized, Lord, I want to be with those
Amen.
Who chew the cud,
Amen.
Who enjoy you. And even the Lord as our jubilee, it's also dependent on our own eating.
Amen.
And, you know, our own eating, our own time with the Lord, this, you know, as Esther mentioned, it depends on our lot of breathing out. And I just realized, Lord, I just hold on to so many things. I was reminded of a verse, you know, blessed are those who are poor in spirit.
Amen.
So I'm just so encouraged. Lord, there's two things, you know, I'm walking away from this conference with, Lord, I need a set time and a set place.
Amen.
A set time and a set place.
Amen.
And Lord, empty and unloaded.
Amen.
Breathing out everything else.
Amen.
So I can breathe you in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then one last verse. There's that just came. It was, practice these things.
Amen.
Be in them.
That
your progress may be made manifest to all.
Amen.
Hallelujah, saints, we're making progress.
Amen.
Let's keep going on.
Amen.
Amen. I was touched with the message about the significance of eating and the defeat of death. And I always thought, yeah, I know what eating is. You know, you just eat the Lord, digest the Lord. But I was struck to see that it's also related to contacting people. And, you know, the brothers were sharing how the Lord touched them to contact, you know, specific brothers. And, you know, they were on calls, and that became a salvation to them. And I thought of a specific experience lately. You know, there's this older sister that, you know, has been wanting to have a set time of prayer with me, you know, 5 minutes every week and praying for a specific matter. And, you know, yesterday my husband mentioned he's, you know, in the specific project. And the sister, she's in the specific project as well. And this older sister, she's like a few decades above me, and personality's different, and, you know, there's always something about personality. And in the beginning, I thought, yeah, you know, I'll try it out, pray, and, you know, eventually it fell through. But every time I see her, she's like, you know, we got to get on our call again. And I just thought, well, I'm not really in the specific project, but my husband is, so I guess so, you know, we'll try it out again. And, you know, the Lord just kept touching me again and again every week, you know, call that sister, even though she's like across the country, call her. Every 5 minutes, keep it 5 minutes and pray with her. And even though, you know, I call her sometimes, she's not there, the Lord would say, try again. And, you know, that sister, she would always reach out saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot, you know, I got so busy. But the Lord just touched me that every time I call her, she's faithful to pray. She may thank me that I'm faithful to call, but I'm actually so appreciative. She brings me into my spirit. You know, every day, like after work, like especially in that specific day, it's like I don't want to really call. Like I just want to sleep. But every time whenever I call, I just get life. And, you know, in this point, in the Roman numeral, there's a point that says death is abominable to God. But life is the most precious thing.
Amen.
So, you know, we need to be encouraged to not only minister life, but get life, but also contact those that give life.
Amen.
So even though the sister, you know, we were like decades apart, but yet I get life whenever I call her.
Amen.
And I really appreciate her portion. So every week now, it's like, I need to call her. Like, doesn't matter if she's there or not, but she calls back. And if it doesn't work out, call again next week. But, you know, I just feel like there's a building that goes on.
Amen.
And there's a salvation that we both get from one another.
Amen.
So, saints, choose life.
Amen.
So, I've never been very good at having personal time with the Lord. I grew up in the church life, so I've been to a lot of conferences. I can't really count how many. But every message is about having personal contact in some way. And I've always tried. I went to the college conference, you know, I was touched there, and then now that I'm a working one, all these conferences are, you know, they kind of say the same thing, like have this personal time, develop a personal relationship. And so I've gotten partway there. I have a lot of continual conversation with the Lord. Every day it's like you come into conflict with somebody at work, you're like, oh, Lord, this person, like, protect this person, save this person, you don't really want to, you know, complain. But there are a lot of those continual conversations. But the conversations in the private place happen very rarely. It's like when there's so much buildup in you that you just feel like you're going to explode. You're like, okay, now I need to go into my private room, into my closet. Now I need to scream or cry or throw a tantrum. But those aren't very often. And I feel like because I don't have that very often, it's like my church life is a trickle. It's not like a deep flow, which is what it should be. And I think I have all these, like, weekly meetings with sisters because, you know, you're trying to build up the church life. You're trying to do the right thing and just things like that. And it helps you, too. But when your own experience is a trickle, it's very hard to build up the church. And so you need to have that exhaling. And just having a continual conversation with the Lord where you're kind of semi-complaining to the Lord about people is not really enough to force that flow. And so from this conference, I'm really touched to just have more of those private moments with the Lord. I think, like, discharging is very difficult for me. I think even coming up here is very difficult. Because I feel like I've often been the older son. So, saints, don't take this matter lightly, because having a personal relationship with the Lord is very important. So continue to have those continual conversations, but also make the time. If you can have time for breakfast in the morning, you have time to call on the Lord in the morning. Don't just be that person who does the morning watch on the subway, because that's me too. I think, oh, if I do it, I'll be ready for the meeting on Thursday. I can share my portion, and I guess now as one of the slightly older working ones in, like, a college student meeting, I feel like I need to speak. But if I don't have the exhaling during the week and I don't have the intaking from the personal time in the morning, then how can I be a beneficial person in the body?
Amen. I appreciate the practical points on how to fellowship with God, especially the three circles of body, soul, and spirit. I had always seen it in a 2D version, but I've never seen it in a 3D version, where you have the spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is governed by, the spirit governs the soul, and the soul governs the body. And when I saw that, and Brother Ricky said, sometimes or oftentimes it's the other way around. The body governs the soul and the soul governs the spirit. And I was like, Lord, that's me most of the time. But I realized that it's an exercise. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says, take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. A lot of times I give myself a break and I take it easy, like, Lord, I am where I am. But it's also an exercise to take captive every thought. because the enemy does use our thoughts and our wandering minds to draw us away from the joy of the Lord. And so it's an exercise and it's a practice to remain in the Lord and put those thoughts aside. Even, I get really distracted. I have so many thoughts during my time with the Lord, and before I know it, the time's over, and I've not even accomplished putting my thoughts down. I forget those thoughts too. So it's really a practice and an exercise to subdue your mind and allow your mind to be governed by your spirit.
I'm really thankful. Thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ because of his finished work that we can have the year of Jubilee. Speaking of the elder son, like how many of us trying to serve the Lord and love him with all our heart, but then we ignore the part that he already done everything for us and all the rewards is there for us to receive. We just need to ask for it and we just need to receive it with an open heart. This has been a very rewarding year for me. I get a new job that I always want to work. I want to do children funding, and somehow God opens a way for me. It's almost like impossible. It's just right after a prayer, and I say, God, I trust in you. With all the effort that I spent for years, I couldn't find this right job, but just that prayer. And then door opens up, and a recruiter called me, and I got a job. But then with the work, it's a very challenging environment, and there's a lot of things that inside of me is I was feeding on the negative thought. So I focus on the problem. I think that's human nature. Just like Brother said, like sometimes I really learned that I'm so thankful. Like all these things, I can never done it by just reading the Bible. I mean, this conference changed my life. I feel my whole body and my mind and my soul is renewed. And I know there's a new way, and there's the only way, that's Jesus Christ. And I know he's the way, but I don't know how to walk this way. Like, what do you mean by you're the way? Like, what is the way? And the breathing is actually a very practical technique that we can use every day. Just come to the Lord and pray to him and breathing out. I don't know that we can breathe out negative thoughts. I don't know, but I tried it. And I feel like even my body's like recovering. And all this stress, all this heavy laden, just breathe it out. Because I try to feed so much on the Lord. I read the Bible every day. I pray. I pray a lot. And I sing songs. I sing hymns. I just try to receive. I was like, because even before I come, he tell me like, I'm a rewarder. Hebrew, I want to quote this verse, Hebrews 11:6, and he said, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and then the next is, and that he rewards those who seek him. And he's the rewarder. He told me, I'm the rewarder. I do rewards. I was like, but how can I not receiving anything? Because I've been trying to come back to you. I try to read the Bible. I try to pray. I'm following your principle in treating people, to love people, and be kind and bring them back to you. But I just don't feel that I'm at ease and peace. And the quiet time and, like, the calm mind. It's like, it's just, like, so much to take in. And he showed me another verse in Isaiah 30:15. He said, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning means repenting and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. So the quiet time actually gives us strength. It gives us strength from our inner man, from our inner being. Striving and trying to do things in our own way is not going to work because it's just making more frustrated. Like, there's a lot of frustration just by doing things for the Lord or trying to fix things on your own, but by trusting and believing and just resting, and it's just so easy. And I'm missing it. Like, I've been missing all this point. And just this message just really, it really totally changed my life. And I think we should all talk to the negative thoughts, even with all the news and the medias, and even like negative thoughts that's in our mind. We should just ask them to stop. And we do have the right, and we have to claim this right. And we have to win this victory of faith, of trusting the Lord, and rest in Him.
Our brother said something this weekend. He said, you know, in life you say, I am more busy than I ever been before. And it resonated with me so well, because I thought about when I was a senior in college looking for a job, I was saying, I was more busy than I ever been before. And then I find myself in Wall Street working in Manhattan, and I say, I am more busy than I ever been before. And then finally I'm getting married to Rebecca, and I am like, oh my God, I am more busy than I've ever been before. But within all these busyness, I have found that, you know, we have to find our quiet place, our time and place for the Lord. And this is our place where we can unload. And then oftentimes I find out my quiet place is in my car. I have to travel a lot to, you know, go see Rebecca in Philadelphia, but those long drives home, I find it so sweet for me, because it's when I actually get a time to spend time to the Lord. I can cry, I can hit the steering wheel, bang it. No one can see it because I'm driving 65, 70 miles per hour, and I'm spending time with the Lord. But I'm also paying attention on the road. But just how important it is to find that time. I encourage you all, if you have a place and time where you're spending time with the Lord, continue it. If you haven't, you got to find one. For me, it's my car. But, you know, you all, you know, spend time with the Lord. It will be very helpful. Amen.
Or how to practice the fellowship with the Lord. This is my third time listening to this message. The first time I was listening to it at the Bay Bridge conference, and the first thing that really touched me is concerning exhaling, because Brother Ricky said he had a really big burden for the mom with little kids, for the sister with little kids, that we need to learn to exhale because there's just so many things going on. And then with our husband that's doing a lot of service with the church, that we just need to learn to exhale. And, you know, that really is, I feel like that's such a salvation to me, because a lot of time, you know, and then Brother Ricky said that you can tell the Lord anything. You know, I was like, oh, Lord, you know, sometimes I will tell my husband first thing, you know, I will complain. And he may not be able to take it that well, but the Lord can take it. You know, the Lord can take it. And so that is really, I was really touched that we can learn to exhale to the Lord. And then without that exhaling, we cannot make room for the Lord to come in. And then the second time is because when we were re-listening to that message, and I caught that the part that beholding his beauty, this time was spent with the Lord is to behold his beauty. It's not that we pray, you know, we a lot of time when we come to the Lord, we just load up with the list of what we want to pray for. But the time that's spent with the Lord really is to behold him, that we wanted to behold the Lord. And then today, one word that really captured me is flexible. We need to be flexible. Thank the Lord. Because, you know, we're church kids. A lot of time we have a method to come to the Lord in the morning, or we try to find a way to make it happen, right? Like, I really appreciate that sister that was so honest. That's what happened to us. A lot of time we just feel like, oh, we need to do this, so that we be able to share or we be able to serve other saints. But I really appreciate Brother Ricky bringing it up about, you know, we just need to follow the Spirit, follow the inner anointing. You know, it could be a hymn, it could be a verse, it could be hymn and verse, and then it could be just one word. But we need to allow the Lord to just lead us. So we need to be flexible with our Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So I have to confess that I've never been good about personal time. You know, when I'm here at the conference, you have this devoted personal time. You try it, you practice, it works for a little bit, and then it kind of peters out. So recently I have a job basically in mental health where I work with a lot of people, and anxiety is a big thing. So with anxiety with them, I get into a lot of contact with them constantly. So now I too also have anxiety. And that caused me to turn to the Lord more. So that's a blessing, you know, where I had to make time. I mean, it's amazing the number of excuses I can come up with to not have personal time with the Lord. But you have to make the time. So when I made the time, it was so enjoyable that at first. I was like, okay, spend time with the Lord, my anxiety will go away. This is fantastic. And it was really enjoyable. I really did enjoy it. But after a while, it started to get a little dry. And I'm wondering why. Why was this an issue? So I really enjoyed the speaking about breathing out, because I knew that this was something that I was doing. I was breathing out, so it kind of confirmed what I was doing. But I still had the question, why? Why am I still not enjoying it? And there was maybe a quick sentence that really caught me and touched me, where it's, are you turning to the Lord because you want something from him, or because you really want his presence? And that really touched me. I was like, I'm just going to you for a quick fix. That's what it is, you know, cure my anxiety, and that's it. But it really touched me that, you know, especially, and I think it ties in with the Jubilee as well, that it's about enjoying. It's about seeking his presence, his person, not just for these other things. Yes, it's amazing that it's needless pain we bear, this anxiety that comes from enjoying him. And that's what I really want to encourage. And for me, I want to go back with my personal time with that in mind, that I'm there for you, I'm there to enjoy you. And I will breathe out, but I'm also breathing you in. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do. That it's a mix of everything. Don't get stuck on the breathing in. Don't get stuck on the breathing out. But to really also look at it with enjoyment.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for such a wonderful weekend.
Amen.
Do you feel like the Lord has richly spoken to all of us?
Amen.
May we be those who chew the cud.
Amen.
Right? Take the word and consider.
Amen.
You know, I was impressed this weekend in the outline that everything can be satisfying to us.
Amen.
Do you consider that? Everything. Whatever situation we're in, everything can be satisfying to us.
Amen.
Only after we have gained the all-inclusive Christ as our enjoyment.
Amen.
So how much we need to practice all these things, not only to have the constant speaking, but also with the Lord, but also the set time and the set place.
Amen.
Just reminded of these verses in 2 Corinthians, always rejoice,
Amen.
Unceasingly pray,
Amen.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
Do not quench the spirit.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, we are in the age of Jubilee.
Amen.
Don't let anything rob you of this right.
Amen.
Always rejoice.
Amen.
Unceasingly pray.
Amen.
In everything give thanks.
Amen.
Amen. So we just have a few announcements. The first is your